Well, good morning. It is 6:23 a.m. on Monday, April 10th, 2023. It's 48 degrees, which is almost 9 degrees Celsius. 98% humidity. Uncertain as to whether or not Big Hair Dude was on the train or not. There was a guy who kind of looked like him, but his head was in his arms, leaning on the seat in front of him. So I couldn't see his face. So I'm honestly, it could be. It's unknown. Unknown. Ambiguous data. As I commenced my stroll down 11th Street in the Pearl District of Portland, Oregon. Welcome to the Pearlcast, y'all. Yeah, I couldn't tell. It seemed such a contrast between the bright-eyed and wistful sightings of last week compared to this. I couldn't reconcile the two, but I couldn't say with absolute conviction that it wasn't him either, so I'm not sure. We'll just have to move forward with that uncertainty and muddle through as best we can. You know, I'm on the fence about this new mic. There's no question. Quality is good. Quality is good. Gives good. It does its job. But I'm wondering if it does its job too well. I mean, the noise canceling that prevents you from hearing a lot of the ambience. I mean, I'm sure you're picking that up, car driving by. But I think somebody observed that it sounded like I was in a room somewhere talking. And I don't know, there's something different about sounding like I'm in a room while I blather of a morning and being able to hear all the ambient sounds around me, the crows and the trains and the trash trucks and all the other brouhaha that goes on during these walks. I mean, that's part of the allure, right? Part of the charm, maybe. Although then the use of the words allure and charm in the context of somebody walking down the street blathering, I don't know. Maybe I may be putting too much on this. So we'll see. We'll see. Your thoughts are always appreciated, by all means. So busy weekend. Great, fabulous, wonderful weekend. Started off Saturday with that hike to Multnomah Falls, which was wonderful. It's, you know, the first experience of going to a park area and hiking a trail. I mean, when I lived in Colorado, we'd do that all the time. Dad and I would do multiple hikes of a summer. And some distinct differences and some distinct similarities between them. One of the differences is this hike was like a half hour drive away. I mean, it was like easy peasy getting to the trailhead. Whereas in Colorado, you know, living in Windsor, it was, you know, hour and a half. It was a journey. And Dad coming down from Cheyenne, I mean, that was a haul. So there was always this sense of traveling to your trailhead and then traveling back. Jesus, that was slippery. Hi. Watch your step. I passed like two other trails on the way to this one. So it's like there's a wealth of beautiful hiking, very accessible, which is exciting. The parking situation was a bit of a challenge. In fact, the traffic getting into the falls area was horrendous. And you know, it's a very popular trail. I think it's one of like the default trails that people hike when they live in this area. We're going to go to Multnomah Falls. Okay. And I ended up parking about a half mile away and walking back up the street, found a section of road that fit my car. I don't know if it was a parking spot, but there was a bit of shoulder that I could pull off on, so I did. But that was pandemonium. If I ever do that hike again, it's going to be at like 7 a.m. Get there way early. And I'm sure there'll still be people there, but maybe not as much. Plus, imagine sunrise would be beautiful there. The falls itself. So the falls are right there. The trailhead is at the base of the falls. So you see the glory of this incredible, you know, hundreds of feet falling water pounding down, great geysers of water. And they had this great rock outcropping, and they built a bridge across from it, a bridge across it, so right in front of the falls. And it looks like something out of Lord of the Rings. When you're down below the bridge and you're looking up and there's the bridge and then the falls behind it. It was just dramatic. And then the trail up. So it's all switchbacks. It's all up. And I really didn't appreciate this effort. I'm sure the Park Service thought they were being helpful with this, but they set markers at each switchback telling you how many switchbacks are left. This is switchback 2 of 11. This is 3 of 11. 4 of 11. Oh my God. It's like, stop telling me. I don't want to know. I will say that once we got to the sixth one, the fact that we were over halfway there was a wonderful impetus to continue to to say we're over halfway there, let's keep going. And then, oh God, the base cruelty, the cruelest cruelty, was at the ninth switchback. So you've got two more switchbacks to go. The ninth switchback, the trail starts going down again. It's like you've crested a ridge, and in order to get to the headwaters of the waterfall, you have to go down on the other side of the ridge. And it's like, wait, I'm sorry. The only thing that made this up at all palatable was the notion that I'm going to be able to go down, 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 down on my way back. And now you're telling me to come back down, I'm going to have to go up again? Oh, the rage, the hiker rage I felt at that moment was deep and intense. But we got, there was a great viewing stand there. It's interesting, for all the people that we saw going up, there were actually fairly few people actually at the stand, at the viewing area at the top of the falls. I don't think a lot of people make that trail up all the way, because it's daunting. There's no doubt about it. I mean, and then it's all up, up, up. But, you know, you take your breaks, you get there. But that was awesome. And I went with Allie and Rob and another Rob, a different Rob from the Poly Group, and one of his partners, and me. So there were five of us making the trek, which was just a great way to start off the day. And it's not a long hike. It's like a mile or so, maybe. I mean, it's a mile up and a mile down, but it wasn't a lengthy hike. So, you know, I was home 1:30, 2 o'clock, which wasn't bad at all. And then went out and had a date night with Muse. We were going to go to that Thai place, M, but we got there before we went to a movie. We're going to go see the Dungeons and Dragons movie. And we got there, and the line was like halfway around the block to get in. And they don't take reservations. I tried. So it's like, no. We'll have to hit that another time. And then we went to the Living Room Theater here downtown and saw Dungeons and Dragons movie. And that was great fun. People have been wanting, D&D players have been wanting a decent D&D movie for years. And for years, Hollywood has been cranking out with these absolute crap D&D movies. I mean, just terrible. But this one finally hit the mark where it's good. It's very entertaining. Not a lot of real surprises, per se, but very nicely captured the ambiance of the high fantasy that is embodied by Dungeons and Dragons. So that was a success. And then yesterday, Sunday, had a great game of Cyberpunk with James and the crew. That was fun. Although we had a little God, there's so much to talk about, and I can see Jameson Square and looming on the horizon. There was an issue of in role-playing games, there is a sense of there's either a story that you're embodying or a sandbox that you're playing in from whence you tease a story. And the difference is that the GM has specific paths through the story that they envision. And they provide the players with a variety of cues and options and assets and resources that open up certain paths of engagement. And the sandbox notion is that the GM just builds the world and fleshes it out thoroughly. And, you know, you can't do everything, so there's some improv in there as well as players go in directions you didn't anticipate. But it's completely open. The GM has created a scenario. Here is a conflict. Here is a situation. And how are you going to deal with it? And has no idea of how the players will move through it. And James has been playing. Usually he gives us those various vectors to the story. But this one was pure sandbox. And one of the players was having a problem with that. That the notion that we didn't have a specific plan or a specific theme of plan. Like, are we going to go in hard? Are we going to go in? Are we going to try and intimidate them? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like we weren't sure yet. We didn't have all the information. And I think they were getting frustrated at the information gathering side of things. But that created an interesting little bit of discord towards the end of the game. But God, and then there was this birthday party celebration and dinner that was awesome, and I want to tell you more about it, but I'm already way through Jameson Square. So I need to stop having such eventful and exciting weekends so I can cram them all into a single walk. Maybe I'll tell you more about the dinner and the party last night tomorrow. But for now, that's it. I'm well through Jameson Square. I need to wrap this up quickly. That's a Monday. That's a new beginning to a new week, a new ascent into existence, I guess. So I hope you have a lovely Monday. I hope, God, what do I hope? I don't know. I hope you have an adventure, or I hope you look back on the weekend like an adventurer who has completed an adventure, or I don't know. I hope you have a good day. How about that? And remember, Brother Zig gives us wise counsel, reminds us that despite everything we can create, we can choose to do that. And if nothing else, that's a lot of fun. And also a public service to the world and to yourself. So do that. And do love fearlessly. Because creates all kinds of intriguements in your life when you do that. When you say yes enthusiastically to whatever it's going to be. And I promise I will do the same. And I will talk to you soon.